Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Good morning to you. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. You can reach us by telephone this morning at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. And as always, your questions and comments are welcome by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. As always, we're here today opposing tyranny. We are the ones standing in the gap for those who love liberty, for those who love and cherish the values of the Founding Fathers, as well as Christian values. We are your voice for freedom in Greenville, as well as all over the world on the web. And we'd encourage you to tell your friends to tune into the webcast. You can hear the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview anywhere in the world simply by going to www.policyofliberty.net and clicking the link that says live. That little thing that says live there, it will pop up your media player or whatever program you have that plays sound files, and you will be able to hear the show live, just like a radio, right off of your home computer. So we'd encourage you to do that. We thank you for your support and for listening. Check out the Policy of Liberty's homepage for other things. There are plenty of links there worth perusing and knowing about, including our Liberty Minute show, some great text files that you can read regarding the four Christian views of public policy, a quiz that you can take and find out where you stand, as well as some deep questions that I've written up for the show in case those are of interest to you, and many of them I think will be. Well, we want to start our show this morning, as we have, as been our habit in recent weeks, by a little bit lighter. P.J. O'Rourke. P.J. O'Rourke is one of the great libertarian humorists and persons with political satire, I think, in the country today. Wouldn't necessarily recommend that just anybody pick up his book, by the way, especially if you hold to the Christian worldview, simply because there are some statements in there that you probably wouldn't appreciate. But there's also a lot of great stuff in there, and we've sifted through the vile pieces that that are in there, and we've only plucked out the gems. And here PJ says a couple things to us this morning that are, I think, just tremendous. He says, "You say we reporters are distracting from the business of government. Well, I hope so. Distracting a politician from governing is like distracting a bear from eating your baby. The whole idea of our government is this. If enough people get together and act in concert, they can take something and not pay for it." And finally, he says, "At the core of liberalism is the spoiled child, miserable as all spoiled children are, unsatisfied, demanding, ill-disciplined, despotic, and useless. Liberalism is a philosophy of sniveling brats." Oh, that's mean. That's not even politically correct. Can't you be fair? I mean, these liberals are educated in public schools. They just can't help it. I'm sorry. He hasn't hit it right on the head. Sniveling brats, the liberals are. Well, we're not sniveling brats here. We like to point out that there are sniveling brats out there and that we need to avoid their doctrine and their practice. It's also been our practice recently to be reading the Bill of Rights. Why? Because many Christians are unaware of the Bill of Rights. It's sad, but most Americans are not in the practice of even once every 10 years reading the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. If we don't know what rights we have, they're certainly in jeopardy of being lost. And we'd like to remind you of the Bill of Rights here on the Tyranny Response Network on Christian Worldview, so you who are Christians can think better, can be better prepared to deal with the issues of the day. And we have arrived today at the Sixth Amendment. The Sixth Amendment says this: "In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law as to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. And that is the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. I want to also announce this evening, or today, for the Libertarian Party sent me an email today that they are having the Abbeville Libertarian Party is meeting February 19th at Libertarian Party headquarters. If you have more information about that meeting, you can call 864-287-4030. That's 864-287-4030. The meeting place is at 119 Smith Circle in Anderson. On the 25th of February, there's also going to be the meeting of the Abbeville Libertarians. Again, if that's of interest to you, please call the number 864-287-4030 and find out more. Well, we have so many different things coming up or on the show today. It's different things that have come up on the cutting edge of political and public policy news that relates to the Christian faith and as it relates to our understanding and worldview. Some of them have to do, again, with the government school. I just got a copy of Bruce Short's public school book, or it's called The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. We mentioned that several days ago on the show. It actually arrived in my mailbox just a couple days ago. Haven't had a chance, obviously, to read the book yet, other than a few pieces here and there. I want to share some of that book with you. So we'll have that on the show as well. It's a couple of other things regarding life issues, abortion. And we want to also pick up our book again, The Unusually Stupid Americans, and go through some unusually stupid professors and their understanding of life and abortion. We have an interesting article today from the Freeman. You know, I mentioned this magazine to you on the air several times. I want to promote it again. The Freeman is probably the oldest liberty aggrandizing magazine in America. It was started by our favorite man, one of our favorite guys, Albert J. Nock and Company, in early 1920s. That's about, 80 years, 80-some years that the Freeman has been published every month. The Freeman contains scholarly articles from people who love liberty, who love the values that we cherish as Americans, and can arrive at your doorstep every month. If you go to FEE, that's the Foundation for Economic Education, that's FEE, like pay a fee, .org. I think you can not pay a fee and get this. I think maybe they require a donation to have this sent to you every month. You know, whether it's $10 or $20 a year, I don't know. Those of us who are academics get it sent to us for free because they want us to promote their ideas, and we're happy that they do. But I would encourage all of you to get a hold of the Freeman and read it cover to cover. One of the best. There are a couple things that are always great about getting sick, you know, especially if you're overweight, and that's losing weight, right? That's the first thing. Don't you agree? But one of the best things about getting sick, yeah, my production staff is nodding at me. Yeah, you know, it's one of these little things. You hate being sick, but when you get done and you've lost 5 pounds, you're like, that's good. You know, now I can don't have to worry about, you know, rushing to get those pounds off. Well, the other good thing that you can have happen while you're sick is you get to lay in bed and get a copy of The Freeman and read it cover to cover. Now, this is 50 pages, the January-February issue, is just chock full of articles that are very deep, and it isn't a quick read. It's the kind of magazine you want to have laying around by the bedside table and put in 15 minutes every other day to read something very useful for you. Here, from the president, Richard Ebling, there's an article right at the front of the Freeman called Global Corruption and the Interventionist State. Now, this is a very interesting article. We're not going to read the whole thing on the air. It's several pages. But I want to read the first paragraph and then summarize a few other points in it because I thought it was just fascinating. In a recent survey, he says, of 50,000 people in 62 countries around the world, at least one out of every 10 people admitted that he had bribed some corrupt some political official or government administrator during the preceding 12 months. There seem to be very few places anywhere in the world where such political bribery does not occur. The omnipresence of such political corruption should not be surprising. It is inseparable from the modern interventionist state. He said in some places, and he lists a number of these, I think it was Albania, Bolivia, Kenya, Lithuania, Moldova, and Nigeria, one out of every three citizens had bribed officials. In other places like the Czech Republic, Ecuador, Ghana, Mexico, the Philippines, Pakistan, Romania, Russia, Ukraine, one out of every four to five people were bribing cops. In the United States and Canada, there's the least amount of reported bribery, although we have all sorts of indirect means of bribing public officials. But the point in his article is, look, we have an interventionist state, and you're going to end up having politicians acting as favor or power brokers, and these people are going to be susceptible to receiving payoffs. And people are going to pay the money, because it's a whole lot cheaper than to pay off the government official than actually lose the profit that would be available to them in the free market that has been stopped up by the interventionist state. Well, this is very interesting, because we have a system of government today which is supposed to be respectable, and we need to end up thinking about this as Christians. How do we treat the interventionist state? Should we bribe them? Should we ignore them? Should we go out of our way to be especially honest more than other people, or not? What is our role in relationship to the interventionist state? The interventionist state, by the way, was not there in biblical times. The Roman government was not an interventionist state anywhere near like the interventionist state is today. Anyway, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this. We have an email related to this this very interesting phenomenon that people bribe regularly governments. We're going to take a quick break on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
I love TRN.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome back to the show, and we appreciate those young homeschoolers supporting the Tyranny Response Network. Yes, they're glad they're not in the public school system today. They're home with their parents, or their mother at least, or father perhaps, doing their schoolwork at and learning where they should be learning by through their parents at home as part of the Christian worldview, or they're off at a good Christian school learning things and principles that are benefit to them and congruent with biblical understanding of the world. So we're glad that that's occurring, especially for the homeschoolers who are able to listen to the Tyranny Response Network, and we appreciate the mothers and your hard work out there. You are not forgotten. You are a great force, you who are mothers doing work as homeschoolers. You are really a tremendous asset that people just take for granted. The force for liberty that homeschoolers are going to become is just extraordinary, and we have a debt of gratitude we really owe to all homeschooled mothers. Well, anyway, I want to get back to the interventionist state article. Well, actually, just the thought of the interventionist state. I'm going to jump into something a little bit beyond that, and that is an email I received from a person who had just taken the quiz on the front of the page. Now, what does that do with the interventionist state? Well, we have another Christian out there who's thinking to himself, I don't really understand public policy that well, perhaps. I need to sharpen my focus. I think I've got some grasp on it, but I want to know how in the world I should deal with the interventionist state around me, the state that wants to tell me I have to wear a seatbelt, the state that wants to regulate how my children are educated, perhaps the state that wants to extort frequently and in varied means tax money from me to reduce my standard of living and harm my family. What do I do with this kind of state? You know, is the state really something that's going to help usher in the kingdom of God? Is the state really something that is upholding the law of God right now? What do I think about this thing? Well, these are some tough questions that we deal with on Christian Worldview, and we appreciate people grappling with them. At the bottom of the homepage, or near the bottom of the homepage of Christian Worldview, or of policyofliberty.net, in fact, it is. This is the last link at the bottom of the policyofliberty.net homepage. You'll find a link that says "Take the Quiz," and if you go there, you will find a 15-question self-guided multiple-choice quiz. The first five questions of which, if you answer them thoughtfully, will tell you which school of public policy pertains to you or that you think is correct, whether it be the competing kingdom or the integrated authority school. The next 10 questions would indicate which view under each of those schools, and there's two in each school, you align yourself with. It would help you think about the broader issues about the nature of the state, the Christian's reaction and relationship to public policy as they come down from legislators, from executives, and from the judiciary. Well, we have somebody who wrote in this morning who was able to actually take the test, and he says, a listener says, I answered the first five questions, no, and the next six to questions 6 through 15, D. That means that he is solidly, without any sway at all, in the liberty of conscience camp, which is very interesting. Now, sometimes we have other folks write in who will be very strongly one other way, particularly with towards the Christian Reconstructionist camp. So not all of our listeners have this result, and that is what makes the Christian worldview fairly fascinating. It's an undeveloped area of theology, really. The theonomists and the Christian Reconstructionists have done a tremendous job in making an attempt at scholarship. We have to give them a great deal of credit for that. The other schools have been sort of dormant, although the Liberty of Conscience School does have a fair number of people writing about its view as well, in one way or another. Well, anyway, he came up to this position. He writes into the show, I also think that any church that is a state corporation and a 501c3 tax-exempt organization is in violation of Matthew 6:24 and is just as bad as the government. That's a very interesting comment. So if you are a church, and he says you have a 501c3 status, then you are violating Matthew 6:24 and just as bad as the government. The government is evil by the fact that there are sinners in charge. When a man learns he has an opportunity to do things he should not and can get away with it, because he is in position of authority and can lord it over others as soon as he runs amok, because that is the natural condition of all man. I also believe that most Christians just accept it and look the other way. That too is the lazy natural condition of man. People in general care only about number one and what I can get or have and how I can entertain myself. I see the U.S. going down the same path as the fallen Roman government, pretty much the same problem. Well, I appreciate the email. In fact, it looks like my email was cut short. I don't have the name of the person who sent that email, but for whatever reason, it was cut off on my desktop here. Appreciate that comment, and I concur largely with what you're saying there, because I do view the state as being intrinsically evil. I wouldn't say it's just evil, however, because just sinners are in charge. I think that's a mistake. I think it's the root problem is completely evil. It's a non-transformable institution. It's just wicked to the core. Other Christians don't agree with that perspective, but that is the heart of the liberty of conscience point of view. The state is a competing kingdom, and it is not a transformable entity any more than an abortion clinic or a prostitution house or some kind of firm that produces pornography would be transformable. I just don't believe that's the case. Well, at any rate, appreciate that email. Also have another email from Chuck this morning. It looks like we're going to be coming up too close to a break. In fact, we're going to break early, and then we're going to come back and read Chuck's email because it's a little bit long, and he has a lot of good things to say in here. I want to give him an opportunity to do so. You're listening to TRN, and this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web,
You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. We have Chuck's article here, or excuse me, Chuck's email here, where he says, "Hi, John. As usual, my copy of the Times Examiner arrived in the mail today, and after hearing your discussion of it, took special interest in this week's columns. As you noted on Christian Worldview, the very fine work of the Free Medical Clinic was aided by a big cleanup and reorganization lead by a new Eagle Scout, Joshua Coben. Great work, Joshua." It was a great work, and Joshua, I'm sure, appreciates that. In fact, he again may be listening. Of course, he's tickled to hear his name mentioned over the air in view of what he's done. We're encouraged by what he's done, and we encourage others, especially homeschooled kids and Christian-schooled kids, to go out and work, do service in the community, show that we are the good guys, that we are better than just the average public school kid, and this is why. It's not just because we get 100 points or 200 points higher on SAT scores, although that is a laudable achievement, and we should be noted for that. We also want to be noted because we are better at community service. We're better at helping people in any way we can, and not using state-mandated welfare systems or proactive policies in order to accomplish the goals of charity and goodness in society. We can be salt and light in that way as well, not only just witnessing or doing well in our academic pursuits, but in actually helping the community. So we appreciate Joshua doing that. I want to give, before I forget, a small plug for the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is a great paper, as Chuck's going to comment more when I continue his email. And you can receive it for just $20 a year. It comes to your doorstep. If you're out of state, out of South Carolina, it's $22 a year. You can pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. That's 44 Pine Knoll Drive, Greenville, South Carolina, 29609. The phone number there is 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Ask for Bob Dill or Laverle, and they'll set you up with a subscription for $20 or $22 a year. I think that rate goes up by $5 in April, so you'll want to take advantage of getting on the mailing list as soon as possible. Again, 864-268-0576. Continuing Chuck's email, he says, "I also enjoyed Thomas Sowell's column in the Times Examiner regarding Bury the Chains by Adam Hochschild. Hochschild. How do you pronounce Hochschild? Well, Hochschild. Okay. This sounds like a worthwhile book. Something we must discuss: the modern version of slavery implied by high taxes, impressments of business as tax collectors, and regulation. It is not commonly known as slavery, but why not when men are called upon to labor involuntarily for the state?" Well, Chuck, I'm going to interject before I continue your article. That's, you're precisely right. We should call it slavery when you are forced to pay these extortive taxes through the interventionist state that we have. It is indeed a problem and something akin to slavery, to say the least. Well, at any rate, we talked about Adam's book, Hochschild's book, Bury the Chains, and Thomas Sowell's article yesterday on the show. We won't do that again, but we do appreciate it as well. Thomas Sowell, a tremendous scholar and a great columnist you can pick up there through the Times Examiner. Chuck continues, then there is Charlie Reese writing about Robert E. Lee, another man we admire here at Tyranny Response Network. Your own article on the morality of state lotteries, Bob Dill on the history of Greenville County, and Dick Jensen's article, Vouchers or Credits. It's an embarrassment of riches. Thanks to Bob Dill for the best issue ever, and I urge anyone not already subscribing to get this paper. A remarkable thing about the Vouchers or Credit articles is that its necessity. Who would have thought there would be such confusion over tax credits? I, too, have heard them referred to as either vouchers or backdoor vouchers. Even when keeping the difference straight, some commentators practically foam at the mouth over the thought of taking money away from the public schools as if it was their money. As Rush Limbaugh likes to yell at politicians, it's not your money. You know it's a good paper when it inspires one to yell. Finally, I note with great satisfaction that large ad for Tyranny Response Network appears below your column, John. Hooray. Let's hope that more listeners will stay in tune and share the fun and education available daily on your show, In Liberty, Chuck. Well, Chuck, we're just so glad we have such a faithful and enthusiastic supporter out there as you. We know there are plenty of others, and we're appreciative of, in Greenville for all of you who are able to tune in and get encouraged by the show. Think a little bit deeper. Think outside the box and not be merely indoctrinated by the mainstream media and all the other talk shows that are available, the talking heads on television, or simply those who like to regurgitate what Foxy News or Blathery News has to say on the Internet and just regurgitate it, give it sort of a Christian shellac and present it to you. The Christian worldview simply is different than the worldview that's taught by secular humanism, and unfortunately Christians have a difficult time breaking away from these things that bind them philosophically. Well, we want to move on to a couple other very interesting things today, one of which is the very interesting book called Unusually Stupid Americans, a compendium of all American stupidity. As I said, the producers of the show, whenever they can finger this volume, have it in their hot hands, ready to amuse themselves by the stupidity of certain Americans. Well, this book was written by Catherine and Ross Petras, and we've been reading a couple things here and there on various shows that when the book's themes come into play. Today we have from the section called, or the chapter called Stupid Education in the USA, page 31, Those Wacky Baby-Killing Professors. Maybe there's something in the water on certain college campuses, but recently at three separate campuses, three different professors came up with variations on the same bizarre idea. University of Colorado professor says new moms should get a week to kill their kids. How can happiness in society be increased? Consider killing a baby. Michael Tooley of the University of Colorado says there should be some period of time, such as a week after birth, as the interval during which infanticide will be permitted. He feels that if moral objections to infanticide were removed, the happiness of society could be significantly improved. I wonder if he was on LSD when he wrote that. Yeah, maybe not. Just on Freud or Darwin or something. MIT professor says it's okay for new moms to kill babies if they don't want to have a baby after all. Speaking in the wake of the famous killer nanny trial in Boston, MIT professor Steven Pinker explained that it's actually okay to kill a baby since, quote, babies aren't real people because they don't have an ability to reflect upon themselves, unquote. He goes on, have you ever thought about that, looking at your baby sitting there in the crib or wherever, just you know, maybe you're stuffing something in his face and saying, hey, you're really not a person. You're not even people because you can't reflect on yourself. This guy is just living on the moon. Maybe they don't have babies in Boston. That could well be. They just import slaves. He goes on to suggest that the new mother should first coolly assess the infant and her situation and then decide whether or not to kill it. I wonder if Ted Kennedy knows about that. Finally, Princeton professor Peter Singer, kill deformed babies for their own good. This academic favors killing deformed babies because he knows they will grow up to be unhappier than other people. However, he is against killing animals. As a vegetarian, he says, it is speciest to judge That's like racist if you're if you don't like different species. It is speciesist to judge that the life of a normal adult member of our species is more valuable than the life of a normal adult mouse. He has also denounced consumer society, championing his own non-materialist lifestyle on the Princeton campus as an example. What he does not note is that not all of us are entitled to free access to the Princeton gymnasiums, swimming pools, libraries, and other upper-class facilities, which he receives free and for which the university charges students more than $30,000 per year. So our hats off to you stupid professors out there, Peter Singer, Steven Pinker, and Michael Tooley. You are truly the idiots of the day when it comes to understanding life. And this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come up to our break on the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I was just talking to some of the production staff, just reminded me of an important point that the articles or the book we just read on unusually stupid Americans regarding these three professors really needs to be put in a different perspective. These professors are not really idiots. They are quite intelligent. They've received PhDs, and they did so not by paying off probable universities to get them, like Martin Luther King did when he plagiarized something. We're not talking about those kind of people here. We're talking about people that are very consistent in their views. Once you accept a Darwinian, secular humanist worldview, and once you believe that men are no different than other animals, the natural progression is to accept that man should be able to control his own destiny since there is no God. And beyond that, he ought to be able to kill babies in the womb. Once you decide that life is not sacred in the womb, you can then make the easy progression, well, what's the difference? Like we ask who are pro-life, what's the difference between a baby 5 minutes before it's born and 5 minutes after? The answer is virtually nothing, no difference, other than that he's got air in his own lungs rather than breathing through his mother. Otherwise, it's physiologically the same. Well, if you can kill it 5 minutes before it's born, fill the baby 5 minutes before he's born, why can't you just go ahead and kill him 5 minutes afterwards? And especially not if they're not don't meet up to some social standard of the committee of academics or savants of the day who decided what good life really is and what happiness really should be. So these people are actually quite consistent in their view. Infanticide has been promoted ever since the Roman times and even earlier as a proper means of dealing with unwanted children. And why not go ahead and just slaughter off folks? This is exactly what these people are advocating. It's not once you believe you can slaughter off a baby in the womb, the next step is to just say, go ahead and slaughter them off the other way as well after they're already born. We have a couple of related stories that came up in the news. Jim Rudd wrote February 11th, News with Views, an article entitled "Unconstitutional Federal Expansion of the Abortion Industry." He said, if the willful and deliberate slaughter of unborn children by the federal government can teach us one thing, it is how far the carnal mind will go to avoid obeying the commandments of God. Apart from being a shocking example of genocidal thinking, the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act of 2005 is also one of the best illustrations of how distorted reality can become when men separate themselves from a biblical worldview. Such is a lesson to be learned from people that support regulating the systematic murder of children by abortion. Guided by the overriding homicidical principles of a woman's right to choose, federal lawmakers stipulate in their findings that unborn children 20 weeks and older should be killed like animals in accordance to the Humane Slaughter Act, 7 U.S.C., that's chapter 7 of the United States Code, page number 1902. This law states, no method of slaughter or handling in connection with the slaughtering shall be deemed to comply with the public policy of the United States unless it is humane. Outdoing even the Nazis' more efficient and humane extermination projects, the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act sets forth a completely new set of definitions on how abortion providers, the state's willing executioners, are to anesthetize children in the womb before killing them. The act specifically defines which children are to be killed, and it goes on. You know, this is a fascinating article, and you know, what should we do with this as Christians? We're disgusted and appalled by this, as we are with any abortion article or discussion of abortion. It's grotesque. It's wicked to slaughter a human being that's innocent in the womb and just kill them off, whether they're using a saline injection or slicing them up. But we should, as Christians, really favor this act, shouldn't we? And there's two reasons why Christians should favor this act. The first reason is we do want to alleviate the suffering of the people that are being slaughtered. We don't want people just to be killed off and harmed in a painful manner. And we believe, as and it is correct, from a biblical view, a philosophical view, an economic view, and otherwise, that people who are unborn are human beings, persons that have rights. And as such, if we're going to slaughter them, at least let them not feel them being killed. That's a fair thing to be in favor of. The other side of this is we also want to be in favor of this act because it really makes our case, doesn't it? I mean, it shows the hypocrisy of these people, the veracity of the situation, that this truly is a human being who is a person with rights and that he's being murdered. We could have this act passed and then point to it frequently and say, you see, this is indeed what abortion is all about. It's taking a human being, which you've defined as an animal, and killing him ruthlessly, viciously, murdering that person. Very interesting article. Be on the lookout for this act. He calls it an unconstitutional federal expansion of the abortion industry. Although I can see the point in this regard from Jim Rudd, I want to just say I think it's to our advantage technically to support the thing because of those two reasons. Maybe a little bit counter. If you have a different view on that, by all means, call us at the show. I'd like to discuss that with you. 864-201-6955. In fact, don't we have that little clip that the young man made to give us the phone numbers? Let's go ahead and give that. We want to try to give that every break for folks. We'll locate that for you. We've got so many homeschoolers in support of the show here, and we're glad that you're listening and supportive. And we're going to go ahead and try to encourage you with our little quips that have younger voices on them. Well, as we're continuing on the same theme, while we're looking for that that clip, we also have a message that's come in from the Copperhead Kid. I don't know what the Copperhead Kid is exactly. But the Copperhead Kid has sent me something. I believe it's from Johnny Gardner, called the Voice of the Unborn, which we'll want to read a little bit of his view. Go ahead and play that that phone number for us.
Bible College.
If you have,
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. We'll come back to that in just a second. In this text, he says the South Carolina Right to Life Act. The South Carolina Right to Life Act. He said, John, you may report that there is a coalition of at least six Christian groups that are going to hold Mr. Wilkins responsible if this bill does not go to the governor for a signature. Please read the following email thread I sent out last week. Okay, he says, Hello, all. I thought about the frustration that the Columbia Christians for Life is going through when trying to get sponsors for this bill. This bill should sail through the State House and Senate in this state. The facts that we can all agree on are, one, the Christian support for this bill is over 95%. The majority of the electorate of the state are Christians. The last known figures I know are that over 70% of South Carolina voters want to end abortion. The last known figures I know that over 60% of U.S. voters want to end abortion. The League of the South is a premier organization, along with the coalition partners, in getting politicians unelected. The state of South Carolina is run by David Wilkins legislatively and politically. Therefore, I believe we should pose an ultimatum to Mr. Wilkins that through our unpaid advocates in the Senate and House that Mr. Wilkins should rally for support for this bill to ensure its presentation to the governor for signing. It's called the Right to Life Act of South Carolina, House Bill 3213 and Senate Bill 111. South Carolina's pro-life bill to end legalized abortion. We won't read the entire text of this bill, but basically there's a drive going on in South Carolina right now through this bill to go ahead and put an end to abortion one step at a time, and this is a big step. What we need to do is everybody write to their congressmen here, or their congressmen at the state level, the representatives in Columbia as well as the senators, and say we're in support of this act. We are in support of the Right to Life Act of South Carolina. So go ahead and do so if you have a chance. We appreciate you sending that in, Johnny, to the show today. Happy to support anything that supports life here on the Tyranny Response Network, because there's no tyranny greater than pointing a knife at an unborn child. What a grievous thing it is. We have also in the news today some very interesting things regarding the Putting Parents in Charge Act. I want to switch gears here in just a minute to talk about this. Before we do, in fact, I think we'll go ahead and take our break right now, because it's a good point to do so. We'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
I love TRN.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. There's been a lot of euphoria going on in South Carolina right now over something called the South Carolina Put Parents in Charge Act. It's especially been so among enthusiasm among homeschoolers and Christian schoolers. The reason being is the act sponsored by the quasi-libertarian, quasi-conservative governor of South Carolina, Mark Sanford, is trying to give a tax credit, partly on property taxes, partly for state income taxes, for certain people who basically have under $75,000 of annual household income or annual income for South Carolina state tax purposes. So some people would be able to get a tax credit if they use their if they send their kids to a private school or if they homeschool. And so this has been lauded widely by many people in the homeschool movement as well as in the Christian school, among parents who send their kids to Christian schools. All that glitters is not always gold, and there are a number of us who are opposed to the Put Parents in Charge Act, and there are some reasons for that. But before I give you those reasons, I want to just read an email that's gone around to homeschool lists. And you can get a feeling for just the euphoria that's in people's minds about the PPIC, or the Put Parents in Charge Act. It says, and this is from Chad, whoever Chad is, probably not related to anybody in Florida, but could be. Anyway, congratulations, y'all. Y'all pulled it off. You, your parents, teachers, and students who attended yesterday's legislative day at State Capitol were part of what is being called the largest school choice gathering in the United States. I have been telling you guys that I thought we had a real chance at that distinction. Now the eyes of the nation, especially those of other school choice advocates, will be on South Carolina. Everyone except the media could count and see that we had over 3,000 in attendance and maybe as many as 4,000 standing around the State House steps as Governor Sanford and other leaders spoke on behalf of Put Parents in Charge. The Associated Press was going to report that we had about 600 in attendance, and Randy Page let them have it. They estimated 300 on the steps, and Randy pointed that there are 52 steps leading to the Capitol, so with their estimation, there were only 6 people per step. Those on the steps were certainly, and certainly those in the, of us in the crowd would say that there were at least 25, maybe 30 per step all the way up. It was packed. There were even folks on the large steps on the side, so I think that there were more likely upwards of 1,200 to 1,500 on those steps, with more on the lawn. I think we always knew that about the media, and outlets like the State can hardly be believed. Well, that's a good point. Thanks so much for coming and being part of history. I'm convinced that we will point to February 15th as the turning point in South Carolina education history. And as the governor said, this will take patriots who are willing to stand up for truth. I have just the crowd that is ready for that. Thanks for delivering apples. Some of the reps even began refusing to accept more. You could tell who it struck a nerve with. Thanks for visiting your reps and senators. We can hardly be marginalized now. We stay vigilant. I still need to come to speak to some of your schools and continue to convince parents to become involved. And we want to fill out those cards. We decided to deliver them in a week or two, so if you haven't gotten them to us, don't worry. Send them on, and we'll sort of deliver them to your reps. If you haven't had your parents fill them out, we'll get those to you. I'll be in touch. Now we'll focus on influencing some particular reps who have uncharacteristically been against this bill, although it fits with their traditional voting records. More on that later. For now, spread the word, love y'all, and God bless. Well, this guy was very happy about the turnout, and once again, I fear that we might have a case of gullible Christians following the Pied Piper. Remember, I've said publicly here on the show that gullible Christians voted for George Bush, that George Bush was not the man of the hour. He was not their man, the man who would help promote the kingdom of God, godly values, traditional values in America, or free markets, or liberty, or any of those sorts of things. Just as an aside, as a small tangent before we get back to the PPIC and Chad, I noticed at ABC News reports this morning, headlines, one of their headline stories, Bush may raise taxes for Social Security. Bush says he won't rule out raising taxes, they report, for those earning over $90,000 to boost Social Security. Am I surprised? I hope you're not surprised. If you're surprised and you're thinking that, well, George Bush was going to privatize Social Security, George Bush is going to cut our taxes, wake up, folks. George Bush is not a fiscal conservative. He's a big government guy. He likes power. He likes to tyrannize other people. He likes taxes. You are not going to get less government, more liberty under George Bush, and we have not to this point. At any rate, I think the same gullible Christians who voted for George Bush might have been on the steps in Columbia. And the reason I say that, and I don't mean to be pejorative or putting people down when I say gullible, I think that they're following a party line out of the best intentions and the best motives, thinking that this must be a good thing. But I want to read for you what the stated objectives of the PPIC are according to Article 1, that's Section 12-15-20 of the bill. It says simply this. 1. The purpose, the objectives of the PPIC are, one, to restore parental control of education, two, to improve public school performance, and three, to expand educational opportunities for low and middle income families. Are these objectives laudable? Think about them again. Number one, to restore parental control of education. This first objective does not need to be restored, folks. Homeschooling parents, for instance, already have control. They gain nothing with the PPIC. The only thing that can possibly happen with relationship to control with this bill is that the government might use it in the future or modify it in the future in such a way that they get more control in your home if you're a homeschooler, or more control over Christian schools. Parents are already in control of education. You can choose to send your kids to a Christian school. You can choose to homeschool. You do not have any controls in your home or in the Christian school specifically by what can be taught. For instance, we can teach the Bible in Christian schools. We can still teach creationism in Christian schools. And in homeschool, it's wide open. This is a farce, folks. It might sound okay. Well, good. We need a bill to restore parental control in education. It's a lie. You do not need to restore parental control. Parental control is already there. It's not been tarnished or damaged or drawn down, especially for homeschoolers. Somebody might make some case that Christian schools are adversely affected by the government now, and true control of parents needs to be restored. But I don't buy that either. But you certainly can't say that about homeschooling families. So on its face, folks, you need to realize the first objective is a bad objective. If it ain't broke, you don't fix it. The old saying goes, right now it ain't broke. And all this is going to do is provide a back door for them to come in at some point and regulate what's taught in homeschools or Christian schools in a way they can't do right now. Let's look at the second objective, which was to improve public school performance. Now, this I'm quoting right out of the bill, folks. To improve public school performance. Why do we want, as Christians, to improve public school performance? Think about what you're saying. Do we want to promote secular humanism? Do we want to promote Darwinism? Alternative lifestyles, wacky environmentalist doctrines that deny the providence and sovereignty of God in the world. Do we want to promote the values of the Hollywood crowd? Those are the things that are promoted in the public school, viciously, flagrantly, without any compromise on their side. They are devoted to paganism, secular humanism, and an anti-biblical worldview. That's the long and the short of it. I don't want to improve public school performance because the public school is a bad institution. The public school is our major enemy. Improving the performance of the public school just makes it last longer. I want to do things that debilitate the public school, that would take it off the map, that would raise it out of our society and off of the street corners, that would convert it into housing for the poor, or convert it into anything other than a public school. And so, on its face, folks, there is no reason why we should, as Christians and supporting a Christian school, want to improve public school performance whatsoever. The same thing is true of objective number three, to expand educational opportunities for low and middle income families. Folks, why? Doesn't that sound sweet? We want to expand educational opportunities for low and middle income families. Proactive policies always sound sweet on the surface. But you know what, folks? This is a proactive policy that's going to require somebody to be robbed, looted, extorted from, money to be taken from somebody and given to somebody else who doesn't work for it. We're talking about a socialist kind of wealth transfer in this bill. In my article coming up in the Times Examiner, I'm going to be talking about this Putting Parents in Charge Act. It should appear in the March 2nd edition, and I'm going to read you a quotation out of that. I also want to let you know that on February the 28th at about 10 or 10:30 in the morning, six of us are going to be gathering on a panel at the Sims Library off Pelham Road for the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting, specifically with the idea of debating PPIC, Put Parents in Charge Act. And I've been invited to be one of the three conservative libertarian folks who are going to oppose PPIC, and I do oppose it for these reasons I've stated. There will be three others there trying to give their views, like Chad was, that this is a good and laudable deal for Christians, homeschoolers, and Christian schoolers. Well, here's what I wrote about these objectives in my draft of this article coming up on March 2nd. The first objective does not need to be restored. Homeschooling parents, for instance, already have control. They gain nothing with PPIC. The second two objectives are wrongheaded, proactive policies and should be opposed by anyone who loves liberty. True conservatives and libertarians should want to decrease public school performance, even to go down the drain. And they should not want the state to use extorted money or its power to, quote, help, unquote, people, relatively poor people or otherwise, do anything, especially at some poor taxpayer's expense. So while some conservative and libertarian people might view these three objectives as noble at first glance, I hope they will quickly reconsider their position once they realize that these objectives merely foster greater socialism and proactive public policy. Again, folks, the PPIC simply wants to give you more government, more proactive, socialistic-type government, and only open the door for potentially greater regulation of your home school. It's not worth the money, people. Think of it this way. If the government came to you today, the state, revealed itself as the true extortioner that it is and says, look, we realize you want to take care of your kids at home and raise them there and homeschool them there and teach them your values there. We don't like that because we'd like them really, in our heart of hearts, to go to the public indoctrination center called the government school. And we'd like them to be indoctrinated as statists, nationalists, environmentalists, or whatever else they're going to be indoctrinated as. But since we can't force you to send them there, we're going to go ahead and think about doing some other things like regulating you or controlling you in other ways. But I'll tell you what. When we talked about this interventionist state and people being corrupt and getting paid off earlier in the show, here's what we'll do. If you give us just $1,000 a year, just pay us a $1,000 bribe, we'll go ahead and leave you alone. If somebody truly offered that to you as a parent, and they said, you give us the bribe money, and we'll leave you alone, wouldn't you do it? If you don't do it, you know you're going to be suffering for it. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you probably would do it, and I'm going to tell you something else. You actually do it. That's what your property tax bill is, folks. You're paying for the public school and a good chunk of the other tax money that's extorted through various sales taxes, income taxes in the state also goes to support the public school. I'm going to encourage you Christians to look at your property tax bill as a bribe. You're paying off these guys to leave you alone. Don't be tempted by the carrot and not look at the stick. These people are going to offer you a credit for those who earn less than $75,000 South Carolina taxable income every year to get a credit back on property and income taxes. Don't look at that carrot and not realize the stick that's coming. This act is socialism. This act is about government control. It's not about freedom, and it's not worth the money. It's better for you as a family to get to be robbed and pay them off, bribe them, whatever you want to call it, and avoid being just avoid having them regulate through this PPIC. Well, we've come up against a break here. We'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview for the final half hour of today's show. Been very, very interesting to talk about this PPIC, the Put Parents in Charge Act in South Carolina, and debunk it for you today, folks. Don't be deceived by the many people, the euphoria, the homeschoolers even being involved with this. They should not be involved with it. They're all being caught up with the myth that somehow this is going to help us, and it's not. They're also being tempted by the carrot, which is the money they might be able to receive. It's just not worth your kids' education. Think how much you sacrifice already, especially you homeschool moms. You've given up a career to be home and educating your children. You're doing a wonderful job, and we applaud you for that. How much does it cost you? In economics terms, what is your opportunity cost for staying home and educating kids? Even if you weren't going to go and have a career, you still have to give up something, don't you? If they were off in a school somewhere, you could go out and play tennis, you could go shopping, you know, you could eat bonbons or whatever you wanted to do, perhaps, during those hours that you're not, I'm kidding to some extent here, you realize that, but you could be doing something else besides educating the kids and the hard work that that entails of teaching somebody to read or solving an algebra problem or whatever it might be. There's already a cost that you're paying. Why sell out, or why sell yourself short just to get a few hundred bucks back from the government? It's just not worth it. You already have a cost that exceeds thousands of dollars a year to homeschool your kids at home. Don't take the carrot now, because you're going to get beaten down by the stick through this PPIC deal. Well, we want to also talk about this book that Bruce N. Short wrote, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. You remember a few shows ago we had an opportunity to read an article summarizing, it was a book review summarizing Short's work. This fellow, Bruce Short, says on the back of the book, it says, attended public schools through the 12th grade. That's who this Mr. Short did. His mother was a public school nurse, and both of his grandmothers were public school teachers. He is a graduate of Harvard Law School. He has a Ph.D. from Stanford University and was a Fulbright scholar, and serves on the boards of the directors of the Houston Ebony Music Society and the Exodus Mandate. He is a member of North Oaks Baptist Church and currently practices law in Houston, Texas, where he resides with his wife and homeschools their sons. Mr. Short and T.C. Pinckney were co-sponsors of the Christian Education Resolution that was submitted for consideration at the 2004 annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. And in that, it doesn't mention what that was on the cover here, but essentially that was a resolution that said,
We want Southern Baptist members to be encouraged to not put their children in the public school, that it's wrong for Christians to have their children in the public school because the public school is devoted to secular humanism, devoted to pagan philosophy, including abortion, alternative lifestyle movements, and wacky environmentalist doctrines. Because these things are anti-biblical and oppose the ways of God, we as church members in the Southern Baptist, he said, should not be part of that particular movement, and get our kids out of the public schools entirely. And the back cover of the book, it also says this from the from Dr. James Kennedy, senior minister at Coral Ridge Ministries. This book presents an idea whose time has come. Modern public education in America has too often degenerated into indoctrination and secular humanism. This book presents a solution to the problem. From the foreword of the book, it says, Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, combines a sound biblical basis, rigorous research, straightforward, easily read language, and eminently sound reasoning. Whether one is a parent or a parent-to-be, pastor, church staff member, or educator, this book has much to offer. It is based, first of all, upon a clear understanding of God's educational mandate to parents. Its second foundation is a thoroughly documented description of the inescapably anti-Christian thrust of any government school system and the inevitable results. Moral relativism, that's no fixed standards. For those of you who didn't know, academic, he's probably assuming that public school graduates are reading this back cover, and that's good that he does, but those of us who homeschool probably already have told our children what moral relativism is. Anyway, continuing on, academic dumbing down, far-left programs, near absence of discipline, and the persistent but pitiable rationalizations offered by government education professionals. Mainly that their school system doesn't work. Well, actually, it does work if you consider what the goal is. If the goal is to read, write, teach kids to read, write, and do math, they may have to be failing. But if the goal is to make them little statists who believe the secular humanist lie, who worship pagan ideas, and who hold to various doctrines about the world that are completely wrong, about science that are completely false, then they've succeeded, haven't they? We even have these kids denying the Bill of Rights that are important. Remember, we read an article here on a recent Christian Worldview show that in a survey of juniors and seniors in high schools, public high schools, most of them believe that people have too many rights. The First Amendment goes too far, and we ought to give back to the government the rights that people are currently have to free speech, for instance. How sad. That's where the public school has gone to. And brought our children to, or many, not our children, but many children in the United States too. I just want to read the chapter heads for you of Bruce Short's book. It's a pretty thick volume, and I'm looking forward very much to reading it. Chapter 1 is called, Why Are You Educating Your Children at a Pagan Seminary? That's a good way to do it. We're going to have to stop calling it the government school. You know, I think we're going to actually start calling it what it is, the pagan seminary. That's what the place is. Government school / pagan seminary. Oh, where do your kids go to school? Oh, they go to the pagan seminary. Yeah, my kids are homeschooled. How do they work out over there at that pagan seminary? Are they getting pretty good dose of it? I mean, are they coming back with some pretty good ideas? You know, just see what people think about you when you start talking about their kids going to the pagan seminary. Bet they get mad. Bet they have all sorts of justification. Bet they throw at you that they're being salt and light out that pagan seminary. Somebody's got to go there. If I didn't pull my kids out of the public school, or if you didn't pull your kids out of the public school, it wouldn't be so bad. I don't think so, folks. Anyway, below the captions, below the chapter one title, Why Are You Educating Your Children at a Pagan Seminary, says, For as a man thinks, so he is, Proverbs 23:7. And then a quote from Joe R. Burnett, the editor of The Humanist. He says, Mr. Burnett says, Public education is the parochial education for scientific humanism. Well, they just come right out and admit it, don't they? Joe Burnett says, public education is the parochial education for scientific humanism. Yes, indeed it is. Chapter 2 is entitled, Do You Like Your Daughter's Nose Ring and Tongue Stud?
I don't know too many homeschool kids with nose rings and tongue studs, and hopefully they're not any, or not very many, and probably not too many at Christian schools either. I don't know. We can go down here to Bob Jones and see if there are any nose rings and tongue studs. Maybe they take them out during the day and put them in at night or something when they sleep. I don't know. I sort of doubt it, though. I doubt the parents or the faculty would approve of it, or at other fine Christian schools in the area, Shannon Forest or Southside, excuse me. At any rate, chapter 2. Do you like your daughter's nose ring and tongue stud? R.J. Rushdoony, a great thinker, Christian thinker of our time, says, all too many churchmen view the undisciplined and amoral products of statist education as evidences of the failures of these schools. On the contrary, they are evidences of their success. Chapter 3 says, turning there as quickly as possible, actually, we have here chapter 3. I had my research staff mark my pages for me, and in fact, they looked like they missed the chapter 3 mark, so I'm having to page through manually. And it's causing some extra grief here. We will be reprimanding the staff for misplacing the marker. Chapter 3 said, just kidding. Chapter 3 says, my child is on the honor roll. Proverbs 11:1 says below the caption, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Thomas Sowell has said, in the long run, the greatest weapon of mass destruction is stupidity. In an age of artificial intelligence, too many of our schools are producing artificial stupidity. Another great quote. Gotta love it. We've come up against time for our next break, and we're going to continue reading the chapter heads. If you have a comment or question for the show, please do give us a call, and we'll discuss these things further. Hope you're enjoying hearing about Bruce Short's work. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
We're back and continuing to read the chapter titles and subheadings and captions of Bruce Short's book entitled The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. And chapter 4 is entitled The Blackboard Jungle, and below the caption reads Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is darkness. And here I'll read just the first paragraph from Short. Do you avoid places at work because you are afraid of being beaten up? Does your employer want to drug you to improve your performance and make you easier to manage? Will your employer suspend you from your job if he discovers you have my doll in your purse? You are probably thinking that these questions are absurd and that you wouldn't tolerate working at such a place. Good. But if these conditions are unacceptable to adults, why would the overwhelming majority of Christian parents force their children to spend the equivalent of a work day 5 days a week in a place where they are subjected to these problems and worse? In chapter 6, the title reads, School Reform, a Popular Delusion, James 1:22 is cited below. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And then John Silber, former president from Boston University, has the caption, quote, the willingness to endure for years in a typical school of education often constitutes an effective negative intelligence test. Ooh. I think Walter Williams has been noted as saying that the education department is the academic slum of a university. Great inflation and idiocy is taught there. Chapter 6 is entitled Government Schools, The Wages of Christian Sin. John Stuart Mill, in his book On Liberty, writes, a general statute education is a mere contrivance for molding people to be exactly like one another. In proportion as it is efficient, it is efficient and successful, it establishes despotism over the mind. And in Chapter 7, the title is, Are Your Children Unequally Yoked? 2 Corinthians 6:14-17, and what communion has light with darkness? Wherefore, come out from among them. And, of course, he's saying, here's the logical conclusion, folks. You need to get your children, especially if you're Christian parents, out of the public school. So glad that someone else besides the Tyranny Response Unit, and I'm not the only voice, by the way, is saying clearly to people, if you've got your kids in a public school, you need to get them out. It's sinful, wrong, bad behavior for you to put them there. I don't know how I'll be more frank. I'm not trying to be unkind when I say that. I don't think you if you have your kids in a public school, you have bad intentions or bad motives. But public schools are the place of satanic activity. They are the place where your enemies live. They are the place that your enemies love to dwell because they hold to the perspectives and views that are antithetical to the Christian faith. Chapter 8, trying to finish this up here. Chapter 8, leading your children into the promised land of homeschooling and Christian schools. Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers. And then finally, postscript to teachers and administrators. When good people, Marshall Fritz says, when good people are working in a bad system, the system wins. It will win because the public school as an institution has a rotten foundation, it's got a rotten purpose, and it's got it's an aggrandized system in the United States right now that people worship as a sort of false savior of society. It's the place where kids are indoctrinated to be what they ought not to be as far as God is concerned. There is no way that you can possibly win in that system. You yourself will be drawn down. You will not be salt and light to transform the evil mass into something that's good. There is no Christian alchemy by going into the public school and transforming lead into gold. The only thing you've got with the public school is error. And if you move into error, you yourself are either going to coddle error or be at best affected by error, unaffected by the error. You're not going to change the error to truth. It's not going to happen. I don't know how I can say it in any starker terms, folks. You have to be. You can't be having your kids there. I'm so glad that Bruce Short wrote that very massive volume. Another man with a lot of good educational and academic credentials himself knows about what's going on in these places and has written a tremendous piece of work in an effort to expose it for Christians to profit from and get their kids out. Well, the Tyranny Response Network is opposed to government schooling. We recognize our enemy. We're not unaware of his wiles. We realize what they're up to there, and so we're going to promote on this show the truth of the matter. We also have a quote sent in this morning from Greg regarding Dr. Walter Williams, this is from Dr. Walter Williams actually, and he simply says this: nothing in our Constitution suggests that government is the grantor of rights. Instead, government is a protector of rights. Do we believe that as Christians? Have you thought about that? Does government grant you your rights? Or does government just protect them and only recognize that you had them antecedent to the state? Well, I think it has to be the former. If government is the grantor of rights, we lose the entire battle, because then government becomes lord over us, can decide if a baby can be born or should die, whether it can be killed within the first week, as this professor we read earlier said, whether certain people with defects that are elderly can be killed. It can take away your life, it can take away your property, it can take away your liberty at will, if indeed the government is the one that grants it to you, because he who grants can also take it away. And if we instead believe, as we should as Christians, that we have certain rights to life, liberty, and property as gifts from God, our Creator, and that we hold these things to be inalienable to us, and instead, and we create government as a means to protect those rights, we have a very different philosophy, not only of public policy, but of the world itself. Well, I want to read a couple of other interesting articles that people have sent in, especially from our fine research staff, a couple of them relating to guns. And first of all, in Johannesburg, we had suspect shot dead at Hillbro. A would-be hijacker was shot dead in the parking lot of a block of flats in Hillbro early on Tuesday morning, Johannesburg police said. Security guard at California Mansions on the corners of Captine and Catherine Streets just allowed a taxi through the gate when he was accosted by two armed men, Sergeant Sanku Tunk said. One of the men held the guard at gunpoint, while the other walked towards the taxi. The driver saw the commotion at the gate, got out of his vehicle, and drew his firearm. The other man fired a shot at him, and the driver returned fire. The assailant was shot twice. One of the assailants was shot twice in the head and died in the basement, while the other managed to escape. A 9mm Norinco pistol with its serial numbers filed off was found next to the dead man. That's because, folks, when you have gun registration, criminals probably don't register their guns, just in case you didn't know that. I wonder what the taxi driver had. Make my day. Yes, that's right. It would be interesting to know, what did the taxi driver pull out? Well, whatever it did, whatever it was, it certainly worked. We're in favor of the Second Amendment, folks, here. We're in favor of gun use because there are criminals out there, predators, who will try to take advantage of you. We applaud the use of firearms in this way when someone is trying to attack you or your family. We believe that self-defense is a right and principle that Christians should be following, and especially self-defense against the state. I think I also have one other story on here regarding firearms that came up. Going to go ahead and look through here. Here it is. News. California City's cases against firearms industry rejected on appeal. The court rules that the unfair trade practice and public nuisance lawsuits were properly dismissed by the trial court. Southport, Connecticut. February 11th, 2005, Sturm, Ruger & Company, the nation's largest firearms manufacturer, is pleased to announce that on February 10th, 2005, the First Appellate District Court, Division 1 of the Courts of Appeals, State of California, unanimously affirmed that the unfair trade practice and public nuisance lawsuits filed by San Francisco, Berkeley, Sacramento, Los Angeles, Compton, Inglewood, and West Hollywood, all very liberal places, by the way, and the counties of San Mateo and Alameda, were properly dismissed by the trial court. In this case called NRE Firearms Cases, the People et al. Versus Arcadia Machine Tool and Company. This is the latest in a long string of cases at both the trial and appeals courts level, holding that manufacturers of lawfully sold, non-defective firearms are not legally at fault if these products are subsequently legally acquired or misused by criminals. Well, that's nice to hear, folks. It's usually going the other way for us so much, where we end up losing so much in terms of our liberties of being able to keep and bear arms. But here we have a case where the courts have actually ruled in our favor and in favor of upholding the Second Amendment. We appreciate that. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and this is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome back into the final segment of Christian Worldview. Appreciate you joining us today, and we also encourage you to tell others. We've got plenty of room and on our webcast for people to tune in via the Internet, whether they're at home or at office. Go to policyofliberty.net, the homepage, and scroll down until you find the link that says Listen Live. You click on the word live, it pops up your media player, whatever you use to listen to sound files, and you'll be able to listen to the show via your own computer. We have Greg write in with a question about an article, and we're going to try to deal with that. It's sort of an economics question here, although I didn't have time to review it a lot before the show this morning. He says simply this: what is the free market alternative scenario to this situation? And it's from an article that came out on February 16th regarding questionable meat made it to the U.S. From Washington. The Agriculture Department allowed Canada to ship 42,000 pounds of questionable meat into the United States, despite restrictions in place since the discovery of mad cow disease in Canada, department investigators said Wednesday. The investigation resulted from a federal judge's ruling last April preventing the department from expanding Canadian beef imports. The agency's inspector general faulted agriculture officials for allowing more kinds of Canadian meat products into the United States before the judge's ruling. Let in products that were at greater risk for the disease, the report said. There was reduced assurance that the Canadian beef entering the United States was low risk, the inspector general found. Some product with questionable eligibility, as described above, entered U.S. commerce. Agricultural officials are planning to allow imports of live cattle under 30 months of age beginning March 7th, despite the discovery of two new cases of mad cow disease last month. Greg's wondering, well, how do we solve this problem? I mean, it is a problem, obviously. We don't want to be eating cows infected or meat that's been infected with the mad cow disease. How do you solve this problem? Well, in the free market, this is what we call a grading problem. All people in a free market have an incentive to maintain their reputation. If their reputation goes down the drain, no one's going to buy their products anymore, and they realize that. And so they always try to do a good job. Quality is always improved by competition. For instance, if there's 100 home builders in the area, all of them swinging a hammer and turning a screwdriver, if one of them starts doing a real shoddy job, there's 99 alternatives to return to, and people are not going to be using that one person. So he always has an incentive to maintain his reputation. That is the normal free market way of things occur. Well, how in the world do you solve the problem of deciding who's actually taking care of no snake oil salesmen coming in, or making sure that people are not going to produce a bad quality product of any kind? Well, the way that markets do this is they create grading services or inspection services. One of the best examples happens to be in the rare coin industry. We could also look, and I may give you some more detail about that in a minute, but we could also look at things like the American Gemological Institute that grades colored stones and diamonds or creates a classification for them so that consumers can rely on their seal of approval. You have simple things like the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. You have the Kosher Foods Seal. These are all private industries. Even the Underwriting Laboratories, which is, it is a private industry. It's a monopoly on grading electrical products. But nevertheless, these kinds of industries rise up. These firms in these industries rise up in order to provide consumers information. Consumers who do not have the correct information will turn to the market and be willing to pay a little extra for the assurance of a third party that what they're buying is of good quality or that it's genuine. And the coin example is actually very good. If you look at rare coins, there is no regulation of gold and silver coins, and the coins are graded from 1 to 70, 70 being, you know, absolutely proof, perfect coin, and 1 being hardly even recognizable as a coin. And when you get into the numbers ranging from 60 to 70, we consider those to be mint states. and the coin carries more than more value than just the gold or silver that might be in it. Say it's an older coin, it has what we call a numismatic value. And if you go between the 60 and 70 range, the scale of value rises substantially, so that a rare coin from, say, 1900 that might cost $5,000 if it's an MS63 grade of the 63. If it were a 64, it might be worth $8,000 or $10,000. And if it's 66, it might be worth $25,000. Unfortunately, the grades between 63 and 64, or even 64 to 66, are not ascertainable to the untrained eye, and quite often can only be ascertained under infrared lighting with special lenses and so forth. And although some dealers might be able to grade these things with some alacrity and ability, because they're so used to dealing with coins on a daily basis, the typical consumer or the person who gets an inheritance from grandpa this coin is not going to know whether his MS63 double Liberty coin, a double eagle coin, is actually a 64, or if it's really a 63 or a 65. He'd be at the mercy of the dealer. And so he's willing to, because there's so much money involved with going from one grade to the next, to go off and pay a grading firm to tell him what it's worth or what grade it should be. And when they do that, these grading firms, there's about five of them in the coin industry, compete with one another for having the best grades. And one or two, really just two of them right now that stand out as being top quality graders that people like to send their coins to. The other ones are questionable. They wonder if they're being paid off by the dealers or some other kind of underhanded work is going on. But if they send it to one of the top two grading firms that maintain the best reputation, much like the guy holding the hammer, they feel pretty confident that when it comes back to them with the hologram attached and encased in the acrylic plastic slab, as it's called, that they know they've got a coin that's really a 63. And when they take it to the dealer to sell it and get the money for it, they know they're not going to be cheated by one grade, grade inflation or deflation, excuse me, because that guy might just take that coin otherwise and stick it on, buy it from him, tell him it's a 63, put it in his case tomorrow as a 64 for sale, when in fact you couldn't tell the difference walking in the next day whether that St. Gaudens or $20 double eagle is your coin or someone else's. You might have 30 of them in a showcase. So grading services are what we use to provide in the free market, the prevention of things like bad meat coming over the border and so forth. So, Greg, in answer to your question, the free market would develop these sorts of things. We don't need the state to do it. The state bungles completely all of these protection programs, and it is a bad solution. We've run up against the end of the show. I wish I could talk more about that. If you'd like to discuss it more, Greg, go ahead and send us another email. I'll be happy to do so on tomorrow or another show. This has been Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.